She looked questioningly at Maledict, who smiled in a distinctly non-committal way. "Is this the time?" he said.
"All right, you lot, what are you standing about for?" bawled Jackram, 6 inches from the back of Maledict's head. No one saw him arrive there. He moved with an NCO's stealth, which sometimes mystifies even Igor's. Maledict's smile didn't change. "Why, we're awaiting your orders, Sergeant," he said, turning around. "Do you think you're clever, Maledict?"
Yes, Sarge, quite clever," the vampire conceded. There wasn't a lot of humour in Jackram's smile.
"Good. Glad to hear it. Don't want another stupid corporal. Yeah, I know you ain't even a proper private yet, but glory be, you're a corporal now, because I need one and you're the snappiest dresser. Get some stripes from three parts. The rest of you, this isn't a Bleeding Mothers meeting. We're leaving in 5 minutes. Move."
"But the prisoners, Sarge," Polly began, still trying to digest the revelation.
"We're going to drag him over to the inn and leave him tied up in the nude and shackled together," said Jackram. "Vicious little devil when he's roused, our Rupert, eh? And three parts is having their boots and horses. They won't be going too far for a while. Not in the nude."
"Won't the writing man let them out?" said Tonka.
"Don't care," said Jackram. "He could probably cut the ropes, but I'm dropping the shackle key in the privy, and that'll take a bit of fishing out."
"Whose side is he on, Sarge?" said Polly.
"Dunno. I don't trust him. Ignore him. Don't talk to him. Never talk to people who writes things down. Military rule. Now, I know I just gave you lot an order because I heard the bleeding echo. Get on with it. We are leaving." "Road to perdition, lad. Promotion," said Scallet to Maledict, swinging up with two stripes hanging from his hook. He grinned. "That's 3 pence extra a day you're due now, only you won't get it because they ain't paying us. But, to look on the bright side, you won't get any stoppages, and they're a devil for stoppages. The way I see it, march backwards and your pockets'll overflow."
The rain had stopped. Most of the squad were parading outside the barracks, where there was now a small covered wagon belonging to the writer of the paper of news. A large flag hung from a pole attached to it, but Polly couldn't make out the design by moonlight. Beside the wagon, Maledict was deep in conversation with Otto. The centre of attention, though, was the line of cavalry horses. One had been offered to Blouse, but he'd waved it away with a look of alarm, and muttering something about being loyal to his steed, which to Polly's eye looked like a self-propelled toast rack with a bad attitude. But he'd probably made the right decision at that, because they were big beasts, broad, battle-hardened and bright-eyed. Sitting astride one of them would have strained the crotch in Blouse's trousers, and an attempt at reining one of them in would have pulled his arms off at the shoulder. Now each horse had a pair of boots hanging from its saddle, except for the leading horse, a truly magnificent beast, upon which Corporal Scallet sat like an afterthought.
"I'm no donkey walloper, as you know, three parts," said Jackram, as he finished lashing the crutches behind the saddle, "but this is a hell of a good horse you've got here." "Damn right, Sarge. You could feed a platoon for a week off of it," said the corporal. "Sure you won't come with us," Jackram added, standing back. "I reckon you still must have one or two things left for the bastards to cut off, eh?" "Thank you, Sarge, it's a kind offer," said Three Parts. "But fast horses are going to be at a real premium soon, and I'll be in on the ground floor, as you might say. This slot'll be worth 3 years' pay."
He turned in the saddle and nodded at the squad.
"Best of luck, lads," he added cheerfully. "You'll walk with death every day, but I've seen him, and he's been known to wink. And remember, fill your boots with soup."
He urged the horses into a walk and disappeared with his trophies into the gloom. Jackram watched him go, shook his head, and turned to the recruits.
"All right, ladies, what's funny, Private Holter?"
"And nothing, Sarge. I just thought of something," said Tonka, almost choking.
"You ain't paid to think of things. You're paid to march. Do it."
The squad marched away. The rain slackened to nothing, but the wind rose a little, rattling windows, blowing through the deserted houses, opening and shutting doors like someone looking for something they could have sworn they put down here only a moment ago. That was all that moved in plots, except for one candle flame down near the floor in the back room of the deserted barracks. The candle had been tilted so that it leaned against a cotton thread fastened between the legs of a stool. This meant that when the candle burned low enough, it would burn through the thread and fall all the way to the floor and into a ragged trail of straw that led to a pile of palliasses on which had been stood two ancient cans of lamp oil.